Today, we're in part three of our sermon series, walking through the inside out. God wants to build us from the inside out, that if God can kind of get a hold of our heart and our mind and transform us who we are on the inside, that godly character, righteous character will lead to a godly lifestyle or a righteous lifestyle. So that's kind of what we've been talking about the last few weeks. God wants to renew our mind as we meditate on his word and we think about it. And God wants to help us guard our hearts. And we dealt with that last week, and man, we went deep into, and there's some pain and some scars and some hurt that have kind of, we've carried that weight around in our heart. And I think last week there's many people that found a new sense of freedom to some of the pain that they've been carrying in their heart for so long. And now that we've been spending a couple of weeks talking about some of the inside stuff that God is doing us in us, we're going to start to talk today about the stuff that shows up on the outside, right? We've gone from the inside, and today we're going to transition to the outside. So like when life just comes and bumps into you, an unexpected loss, a tragedy, when life just bumps into you, there's something that's going to spill out. And the first thing that most people notice is what they hear, the words that come out of our mouth. So what I like to do today is talk to you about taming our words. To hear me say several times today, and the big idea of where we're going today, it says that our words are a window into our heart. Our words reveal the condition of our heart. And if more people realize that, I think we would probably be a lot more careful about the words that we speak. Most people think that actions reveal your heart. There's even a saying that we have that says, actions speak louder than words, right? You've heard that before? And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, but I think the Bible kind of gives us the idea that our words can stand by themselves, that our words are loud enough just by themselves. I want to read a section to you from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Luke chapter 6. In fact, let me invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 6. We'll turn on some house lights so you can read and take some notes in just a little bit. But I want to be clear that we all understand the context of what's happening here. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's made a transition from the way that we are to interact in our attitudes towards other people, and he's now in a section talking about the way that we interact in our attitudes about ourselves. So what he's about to say about the words that we speak isn't your measuring rod to go around and measure other people's words and be able to beat them up because of the words that they say. Rather, this whole section that Jesus is now in is about self-inspection. It's about check your heart, check your words. So this is an opportunity for that Jesus is giving us to examine our own heart and in searching our words that we say. This is in the part that he's talking about the plank in your own eye first. So have you ever noticed how easy it is to pick up on when other people do or say wrong things? You know, they might say wrong things or selfish things or harmful things or inappropriate things, and your ears pick up and you look at them and you're like, oh, I'm going to mark that person. They're a bad influence. They're a bad apple, right? I'm going to mark them. I don't want to hang out with them. But how self-righteous or self-justified we are and sometimes saying whatever we want to say. So before you start making judgments about other people's hearts based on their words, Jesus says, check your heart first. Your words are a window into your heart. Just like a good southern draw would let you know that somebody's from like Georgia or Alabama or East Texas, or a deep Cajun accent would let you know that they're from like deep South Louisiana, or a German accent would let you know somebody's from Germany. Your words carry an identity. The question is, which camp do your words identify you with? Have you ever listened to the words that come out of your mouth? When you talk, when you pray, when your kids are on a ball field, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, when you're late at night and you're just scrolling through news feeds and you decided to write something. Have you ever noticed the words that come out? If not, let me give you some questions to think about. Maybe, man, when I talk to other people, do I only talk about myself? When I talk to other people, do I grumble and complain about all of my problems? When I talk to other people, am I always negative about the leaders in my life? When I talk to other people, am I filled with gossip and slander? When I talk to other people, is all my conversations full of all the stuff and things I wish I could do if I only had more money? And so my mind is consumed with stuff. When I talk to other people, do I have to put other people down in order to make myself feel better? Listen, your words are a window into your heart. Your words will reveal the condition of your heart. And maybe today as we go through this, you're going to start to wonder, maybe it's time I do something about that. Maybe it's time I start to guard my heart a little better. Maybe it's time I start to think before I speak. So let's look at what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. And I want you to look at some of the stuff that's bolded in this verse up on the screen. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." Pause right there. Let's do a quick word study right here. There are two adjectives used to describe opposing fruits or opposing hearts, right? Two words to describe the opposite condition of both the heart and the fruit, good and bad. My voice cracked. That was kind of fun. Two adjectives in the Greek. Good, right? We see good there. Everybody say the word good. Good. Greek word, kalos. It's this beautiful fruit. It's this useful heart. It's this precious fruit. It's this morally noble, good heart, right? Good. And then bad. Everybody say bad. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, sapros. It's this decayed fruit. This rotten, evil heart. This unwholesome fruit. Think of an apple with like worms all in it, just spoiled, rotten, right? Jesus points out that some men's lives produce good, noble fruit while others produce evil, unwholesome results. Jesus says, look at the fruit. By looking at the fruit, you can tell what's on the inside. The parable Jesus is teaching is one of those inside-out concepts that we're talking through in this sermon series, that what's on the inside, as life bumps into you, will show up on the outside. What's on the inside can't help but eventually be on display for the outside to see. So let's keep reading. Verse 45, Jesus says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." If you memorize it in the King James, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, Jesus goes back to two adjectives to describe two opposing truths or two opposing hearts or words. Two adjectives, but good and bad. But the adjectives are a little different now, so let's look at those. Good, everybody say good. Good is now the Greek agathos. It's a little different than kalos. It's got a literal, what it means like directly, and a figurative, what it means. And so it's a good heart, a good person, good words that are useful in the moment that fit into the situation, literally or figuratively. It's the inner worth, a noble person, noble heart, right? Upstanding or bad. If I say bad, bad, the Greek word poneros. Literally, sick. You got a sick heart, spoiled heart, worthless words. Figuratively, it's the wicked person, the degenerate person, the evil person. The spoiled, worthless, sick condition of a person's heart can't help but show its true colors and make its way out through the words that we speak. Why? Because our words are a window into our heart. And Jesus uses an interesting word that's translated stored up. The Greek thesaurus, from where we get our English word for thesaurus, or even our English word for treasure, means that place that's stored up, the storehouse, the treasure. And it's interesting to me to think about what are those things that we store up in our heart. What are those things that we store up and treasure in our heart? because it's going to start to be stored up, and there'll be more and more and more and more of those things that are precious and treasures to us that we store up in our heart. So what is it? Do we store up praise or complaining? Do we store up bitterness or joy? Do we store up pride or compassion? Do we store up selfishness or generosity? Because what's stored up in our heart is going to slip out in our words. I think the statement, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of," is kind of a fairly obvious statement. But inspecting your words is going to reveal the condition of your heart. And if your self-inspection today doesn't reveal good fruit, or maybe very little fruit, I hope that today there's some alarms that are going off in your mind and in your spirit as you check your heart by examining your words. Because good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control, come from a heart that's been transformed by God and a mind that's renewed in His Word. So in our time that we have left together today, I want to look at three reasons I believe it's important that we tame our words. First of all, if you're taking notes, my words direct my life. In the New Testament, I want us to jump over to the book of James. James, in his writing, writes more about the power of our words than any other New Testament writer. And in James chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the entire animal." Take ships, for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. If you want to know where you're going in the next 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, then listen up to the words that you say. If you want to know what the direction of your life or where the direction of your life is moving, then listen into your own conversations. Listen into what's coming out of your mouth. Because we shape our words, but then our words shape the direction of our life. And he gives us a couple examples of that. First, he says our words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. Take that horse that's 2,000 or 3,000 pounds and put a metal bit over his tongue in his mouth and stick a 90-pound jockey on his back. And that little jockey can direct that 3,000-pound horse wherever he wants to. That little bit will control the entire animal. Or then he gives us another picture. Imagine that large ocean liner, right? That you're going to get a chance to cruise on for New Year's on your Christmas break, right? And imagine that large ocean liner that the captain steers with relatively compared a small rudder to the entire size of the ship. That little rudder can change the course. That ship can turn on a dime because of that rudder. It's a small thing, but it changes the direction. Your tongue might be a small part of your entire body, but that tongue can open doors for your future or it can close doors for your future. It can help other people or it can hurt other people. It will determine the direction of your life. See, the words we say give daily evidence whether I'm growing closer to Christ or whether I'm growing further away from Christ. My words will give evidence of the direction of my spiritual walk. The words I speak not only direct my life, but the words I speak reveal my heart. That's one of those things Jesus was talking about. The words I speak reveal my heart. Listen to the way that James writes it in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness." I don't know if in your Bible reading, and we read James earlier this year in our SOAP Bible reading schedule, I don't know if you've read this verse slow enough to let the meaning of it just kind of convict or impact your heart. We tend to read quickly, I think, through the Bible sometimes and miss, I think, the point of what's happening here. Because we come into worship services like today and we lift our hands and we sing and we sing, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come and fill this place and change the atmosphere." And we get in our car and we leave. and somebody cuts us off on the highway, and we have a descriptive word for them that's not all that God-pleasing, or we jump on conversations that are all about gossip. Can you believe so-and-so was at church? If you knew what I know, let me tell you, Bob said that, Mark said that, Sally said that, John said that, Peter read on somewhere about that. I can't believe they're even here. And just a few minutes ago, we're like, Holy Spirit, I love you. With the same tongue that we use to worship God, we curse people that are made in the image of God. And just to curse them doesn't mean you have a four-letter word for them. We curse them by the words that we speak over them. You're good for nothing. You're worthless. You're stupid. You can't do anything right. I talked with a precious lady in our church a few months ago, who just with tears rolling down her cheek was telling me, I've never heard my father ever say anything nice to me. All he ever said was, you're an accident, and I'm embarrassed to have you around. That's somebody that was made in the image of God. And man, this is a tough subject, because there's probably people we don't get along with. There's probably somebody that wounded you or hurt you that you don't really have all nice things to say about them. There's probably somebody that's a Redskins fan in the house today, right? There's probably somebody that you might not like all that much, and you have your choice words for them. You'd rather walk out of the room when they walk in. You want to tell people what they did wrong. And yet that same person you can't get along with, that same person you want to tell the whole world what they did to you, that same person that you can't, is the same person that James is reminding us is made in the image of God. That person you don't like is someone that God loved with his whole heart and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world for. That person you don't agree with politically, That person you don't agree with politically is the same person that is valuable to God. James is reminding us, why would you come in here and sing praises to God and then go out and just blast somebody you don't agree with politically? Because that same person is made in the image of God. I'm telling you, this is heavy stuff today. If we really start to think about the power of our words, that there's life and death in the words that I speak, that my words are giving testimony to God or they're negating my testimony in front of people. There's power in the words that I speak. I can unite or I can divide. And this is a tough subject. And I want you to think about it. Because, man, we just let our tongue lash out so fast. And sometimes our tongue lashing out isn't necessarily with words we speak, but sometimes with the words we type. I just want to tell you about, you know, go on to give somebody a one-star Yelp review. Worst customer service ever. Did you ask them how their day was? Man, what if we were a little slower to speak? We checked on people before we talked about people. We let our words get the best of us. Maybe you had a tough day at work. Your boss lashed out at you, didn't meet a deadline, made him look bad, and so he just lets you have it. It's your job. You sit there, yeah. You're just beat up, lashed out, torn to pieces, and go home frustrated, and you got a vent. Your spouse gets all the words that you vented out. They can never do anything right. Dinner's never this, never that. The house is this. And you just tore them to pieces. And they're broken, wounded, didn't see nothing coming. The kids come home from school and they get it. You know, they didn't turn in a paper. And you got an email from the teacher. And they missed this and they missed that. And they didn't get on the bus. And you have to go and pick them up. And then they're just torn to pieces. And they have two choices. They can either lash out on the dog or they can lash out at somebody, and we call it cyberbullying. And it's just a vicious cycle. Why? Because we let our mouth run around unchecked. Your words reveal what's in your heart. I'm asking you to have a heart check today, because the words reveal the direction of my life. My words reveal what's in my heart. And I could probably safely say, I believe all of us in this room today would agree with the fact that my words need help. And when I say my words need help, that's like a cumulative. We're all in my, not just you going, yeah, I agree, Pastor, your words need help. Our words need help. My words need help. I don't get it right all the time. I'd venture to guess you don't get it right every time also. James says no man has tamed a tongue, but what James doesn't say is that God can't help us learn how to tame the tongue. And I think we can with God's power and with God's strength and with God's wisdom that James reminds us to ask for God in chapter 1. We can go a long ways towards learning how to tame the words that come out of our mouth. I love the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 141, verse 3, where he prays. It's up there. I want you to take a picture of that with your phone real fast, but I want you to write that down in your notes. Take a picture of that. Put it on a sticky note. Stick it on the dash of your car. Like, get a dry erase marker and write it on your mirror in the bathroom in the morning or on your screensaver at work before you go into that conference meeting. That's going to be really tough. And I want you to pray. What would happen if we begin to pray the same prayer, right? Jesus, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Let not my heart, there's that heart word again, remember? There's that heart word again. Let not my heart be drawn towards what is evil. How would that change your interaction at home if you started each day with that prayer? God, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. How would that change the conversations you have at home? How would that change the conversations you have at work? How would change that maybe some of the things that you post online? What would that begin to change inside of you as we made that prayer? God, set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the doors of my lips. Why? Because our words are a window to our heart. So the psalmist says, let not my heart be drawn towards what is evil. So listen, I'll wrap up with this. I'll invite Devin to join me. I want you to check your heart today and examine the words that come out. And if the words that come out of your mouth, if there are words that are negative and critical, listen, if they're lying, hurtful, self-centered, could you do what the psalmist does? Just say, God, I'm asking you to help me with my speech and my words. Let me become slow to speak. Here's kind of our action step, what I'm asking you to do throughout the remainder of this month and as we go into November. The writer of Hebrews says, let us encourage one another daily. Encourage. That's the words that I speak. I want my words to be encouraging words. I want my words to be uniting words. I want my words to build people up. I want my words to encourage. And we're to encourage what? One another. And then there's this funny word called daily. Anybody know what the word daily means? Jeff, you're an engineer. Daily. Today is part of daily. Tomorrow is another daily. The day after that is daily, and the day after that is daily, and the day after. It doesn't say encourage one another when you have a good day. It doesn't say encourage one another when the Cowboys win today. I'm going to encourage you, Patrick. But encourage one another daily. I can have a bad day and still encourage someone. Things might not turn out like I had planned, and my schedule might be messed up. But I can still encourage one another. Find ways to encourage one another daily. What if the words we said built one another up? Let me invite you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment. Two things I want to do real quickly as we close. First of all, I believe the words we speak direct our life. My first question for you today is, what is the heart condition you have with Jesus Christ, your Savior? Paul writes in Romans that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, there are some of those words that give direction, spiritual direction to our life. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord, then we'll be saved. You might be here today and maybe you've never been in a church before. Somebody invited you, you showed up here today, and but spiritually in your heart, the dots are starting to connect and it makes sense. You're wanting to trust Jesus. But maybe more likely the case might be you're here today and your heart has been surrendered to God before, but in recent times you've pushed away, you've wandered away, you've been driven to do your own thing. And today, the love of God is wooing you back. Your walls are crumbling down and you realize today you need Jesus more than you've ever needed Him before. And you just simply want to say, Jason, my life is not right with God, my Father. And I want to make things right with Him. If that's you, Jason, my life's not right and I want to make things right. Would you quickly raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. I see one hand. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, church, I'd like to ask us all to pray this prayer. Let's pray this out loud. Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, today, I ask you to search my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I confess you with my lips, with my words, with my heart, with my faith. That you are my Lord. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. One more question with everybody still head bowed. If today I'm asking you to heart check for just a moment, examine your words. If you say, Jason, I have a problem speaking my mind too freely and I realize that I have hurt people with my words. I'm quick to speak. And everything I say isn't always that encouraging. I realize that there's pain because of the words that I've caused. And I want Christ to help me set a guard over my lips. If that's you, real fast. Raise your hand real fast, real fast. Yeah. Jesus, there's probably, I don't know, 20, 25 hands that just said, that's me. I have a tendency to let my mouth run. Let my mouth run faster than my mind can control it. And you reminded us in your word to be slow to speak and quick to listen. You reminded us to encourage one another daily. You've taught us the power and the impact of our words that there's life and death. And God, we don't want to negate the testimony of God's love by the words that we say to other people. We ask that our words would point people towards Jesus Christ. And so where we have hurt and wounded and injured people because of our words, I ask that we would be willing to initiate a conversation and maybe ask that person to forgive us. Maybe look for ways of reconciliation. Let there be, I pray God, that maybe in our homes, maybe where we let our tongue just run the freest and we've hurt the most. Let there be healing in our homes because of the words that we've said, in our marriage, in our parenting, in our work environments. Let us understand and carry the responsibility of speaking words that build one another up. We can't do that without the deep work of the Holy Spirit, renewing our mind, transforming our hearts. So Jesus, we invite you into our heart. Start there. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite everybody to stand up with me. You know, we've gone a little bit over our time, and there's probably some people getting ready to come into our next service, and just ask that you hug them as you make your way out and take a moment and introduce yourself, and maybe find somebody across the room, and y'all go to lunch together today and have a great time. And more than anything, let's find ways to encourage one another daily. So Jesus, as we walk out today, we have been tasked by your word to speak words of life, to understand the power and the impact of the word. So change us from the inside out so that we would encourage one another daily. Pray for your blessing on each person. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.